For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone. I think this might be the most people we've had in this room, with the possible exceptions of when Reb Anderson, you can just leave that open, just leave it all the way open. When the possible exceptions of when Reb Anderson spoke here and when Joanna Macy spoke here. Anyway, welcome everyone. For those of you who are new here this morning, and for those of you who started sitting here after I started my sabbatical in March, I'm Taigen Dan Layton, the guiding Dharma teacher here at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate. And maybe some of you are just here because we've been closed for a week and you've just been eager to sit Zazen with people. So anyway, welcome everyone. This last week we completed Dharma transmission ceremonies for Nyozan Eric Schutt and Asia Nancy Easton. And they're wearing their new brown robes. And so I'm going to speak a little bit, and then they will each speak, and then Shosan Victoria Austin from San Francisco Zen Center, who is here as the preceptor for the ceremonies, will speak a little, and we'll have some discussion. We won't have temple cleaning as we usually do on Sundays, just to allow for more discussion. So I want to speak about this ceremony a little bit and what it means, but I want to start by saying what it does not mean. This does not mean that Nyozan and Aishin have reached some special exalted spiritual state of being. It does not mean they have reached some special attainment or some big E enlightenment, or that they have received, that they have special, this is not a certification of special powers like the Avengers. Now, they may have some of those things, but that's not what the ceremony was about. I don't know. You know, that's not relevant to what, you know, the ceremony was about. What it is about is my trust in them, my trust in their practice, my trust in their commitment to continue our teaching and practice tradition and lineage, and to share it with you and others. So they are now authorized to perform lay ordination or jukai. They are now authorized to perform priest ordination. They're even now authorized to perform dharma transmission, as I have just performed for them. None of those will probably happen very soon. I received my dharma transmission in the spring of 2000 at Tassajara from my teacher, Tenshin Reb Anderson. So it's taken me a while. I think I did my first lay ordination maybe in 2005 at my Sangha in California, Mountain Source Sangha. So we'll see. Ceremony that I did at Tassajara was in 3 weeks. But the last week, which is the week of where the most important part happens, was the same as what, well, basically the same as what they have done this past week. It's a little bit more than a week, actually. But we, of course, had to adapt this traditional ceremony, which goes back many, many centuries in Japan, to our space as a non-residential storefront temple. That's also traditional, to adapt it to a particular space. So, for example, at Tassajara, when I did it, I had to do go and do offerings and bows at altars all around Tassajara, which is a large space for those of you who've been there. Here, they did this at, I thought I had the numbers, 6 different altars to, I think, 17 different figures. So our temple was totally transformed. Every single room of this temple was totally transformed for the ceremony and transformed back, with the single exception of the pictures, which I'll talk about in a minute. Many people helped this happen. Part of what the ceremony involves is lots of calligraphy and lots of prostrations, about 300 prostrations a day, more or less. So, again, there were various ways in which this space was transformed, and the altars were transformed, and this room is transformed. What's left of that, just for today, are the what's called chinzo in Sino-Japanese, which is pictures of the ancestors. And at San Francisco Zen Center and at Tassajara, for example, there are, maybe more, but there are always, Gyakushitsu Sojun, Butsumon Sogaku, and Gyokujun, and so on. They're small pictures on the first, second, and fourth plaque over there. And sometimes more are added. And of course, we had a table below Kaza's picture with Zhaozhou, who's not there now, Joshu from China, and Shunryu Suzuki Roshi, of course, our founder in San Francisco. But there are many other figures on whose pictures are depicted. How's Rufus doing? Rufus is the largest picture there. That's Asian's cat. How's he doing?
Good.
Oh, great.
As well as can be.
As well as can be. At the beginning of the week, he was...
Yes.
Yeah. So there's also pictures. Actually, there are two pictures of my teacher, Tenshin Reb Anderson. There are pictures of other people in our lineage, like Dongshan, Tosan Ryokai, who we've talked about. And there are pictures, people from China and Japan, Bodhidharma and Huika is on the second one. And Eihei Dogen, our founder in Japan, is on the third one. And they'll be up later and you can look at them. Hongzhe, who is sort of our Dharma uncle of Dogen, is on the fourth one. There are many pictures. People from San Francisco Zen Center, too. Blanche Hartman and Lou Hartman, and some of them. My first teacher, Nakajima Sensei from New York, is on the first one. And anyway, these are pictures. Oh, Oksan, Suzuki Sensei's widow. And other people like Joanna Macy and Mary Oliver and Bob Dylan Dio Show. So, anyway, those pictures were in front of Nyozan and Eishin as they were doing their calligraphy of various documents at tables right there. So, again, the whole space was transformed. So, This is about their receiving authorization as teachers in our lineage. And my teacher and San Francisco Zen Center and the Soto Zen organization in America have been notified. But this is really a wonderful event for this Sangha. So earlier this year, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of our being in this temple. So many people in this Sangha made this possible. Gyoshin Laurel was our Jisha, helping throughout the event. Of course, Shosan came from San Francisco and was the precept instructor and helped in lots and lots of ways. So there's too many people to thank. I'm sorry for those of you who I might leave out. Brian, where's Brian? He's there somewhere. Oh, hi. Yeah, he constructed two of the most important pieces of furnishings, let me put it that way, for this event. Unique furnishings. Hogetsu is back here, is our sewing teacher, and she helped Zana Nation very much with their new Okesus and Roxus. Dave and Kathy, where's Kathy? Kathy and Matt, who's not here today, were a committee of our board who assembled many materials that were essential for this ceremony. Bo, who I think is not here this morning, but Artenzo, organized meals for us during this. It was more than a week. It was, I don't know, 9 days, and I was here for 10 or 11. I don't know. I lost count. But anyway, and many of you brought meals for us. And Jason, where's Jason? Jason constructed a couple of essential pieces for the ceremony. So thank you, Jason, and everybody else who helped. So, and all of you for being here. So I want to have time for questions, discussion, other anything else, but also I want to give time for the others to speak. And I want to pass the microphone. And actually, Aishin will give her first Dharma talk, full Dharma talk, as a new teacher tomorrow evening. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's really great to see so many people here. I've never seen so many of the Hyde Park Rockefeller Chapel group here at one time, which is really great. Outside still and inside trembling. Outside still and inside trembling, like a tethered colt, like a cowering rat. The ancient sages grieved for me and offered me the Dharma. I'm sitting next to Aishin, my Dharma sister. We began the process of priest ordination in 2011. We were ordained in 2011. We began earlier. In 2010, we went to San Francisco Zen Center to begin sewing our Okesus with Blanche Hartman. Blanche Hartman is the Dharma sister of Shosan. Shosan, how to run these things? Shosan became my sister Keiryu's teacher when Blanche died. She's also a very old friend of Taigen and came and gave us wonderful guidance and instruction, and continues to do so through this thing. Old friend of Kazon, of Taigen, and Taigen, of course, is my teacher. And I mentioned Keiryu, probably in the wrong order, but as I said, she's another sister, and she sewed this, or carved this beautiful object, as well as my the new utensils for my new bowls. So I mention this not because to give you the impression that we all need a wider circle of friends. We ought need to get out more. It's too tight. Just the opposite, actually. You know, there's something that, you know, sort of circulates up and down through the generations. Taigen and Shosan are not a lot older than me in years, but they are the previous generation. And it also circulates horizontally. And it actually includes all of you. And it excludes nothing, really. One of our chants says, according to function and place, each thing has its merit. So now I have a new function and a new place. You know, I will hopefully grow to learn the merit of it and to be able to express that and bring it forth. It's clearly not a matter of competence, you know, and apparently that's not going to change. Like, down to the last moment, you know, I'm making significant mistakes. So apologies to the Buddha, first of all, and Taigen, to whom I must be a kind of a constant source of embarrassment in some ways. So here I am in these new brown robes, you know, and who is that who's in these robes? Well, you know, it's Eric Schutt. You know, it's Nyozan. They're not quite the same, but they're also not different. And so part of the process for me clearly will be continuing to realize that non-difference and continuing to walk the path, bring forth and express the Dharma as well as I can, as they say, like those Eric Schutt and Nyozan are like the front and back foot in walking, and somewhat, you know, opposed in some ways. We say they're opposed like the front and back foot in walking, but they work together. And hopefully I can continue to learn how to do that. Fumble, trip less, get my ropes on right. And part of that, as I said before, you know, this thing that circulates all around and up and down excludes nothing, excludes no one. You know, but there's near and far, and people here are near. The Sangha, obviously the Sangha expands and expands and expands and expands, however you look at it. But, you know, you are the people here with me here and now. And so we've already, as Taigen said, had massive amounts of help from people all the way through this. It's been incredibly generous. But as I start to grow into these robes, I really, really ask, you know, this didn't pop out of nowhere. And as I said before, it's not a matter of some kind of competence. As Taigen said, it's not a matter of some kind of special thing. But it is a matter of expression and growth and sharing. And I really, really ask your help in that. And I make the assurance to you that I will always, as well as I can, and with your help, try to be as good a friend to to all of you as I can be, and in whatever way I can be. Dogen says, Taigen mentioned these documents that we worked on. One is called Shisho. You could say certificate of succession or document of succession. And Dogen, in his fascicle about that, says one of the many things he says is something like, when succession occurs, many find that though they did not seek it, it has come. And though they did not expect it, succession has occurred. So that's the situation that I'm in. And again, I just want to express my gratitude first to Taigen and to Shosan and to Aishin and to, that happens all the time, and to, you know, all the people that are here. And I think with that, I will pass the mic.
Buffering function it may serve, as yet unknown. So, hello. It's hard to go third. Many of the good things have already been said. But there are still things to be said. And as Taigen and Nyozan have kind of alluded to already, this week has really been sort of an epic journey for me and for all of us, and a very, I guess, distilled or concentrated version of what, you know, our Zen practice and training and the path that we walk always is. But when I came in this morning, and kept seeing, you know, so many of you who I maybe haven't seen for a while, or, you know, who I have been, well, you know, just haven't seen for a while, and was sort of overwhelmed by all the gratitude that I was feeling towards all of you all this weekend, especially when I saw you today. It reminded me of one of my favorite movies, which is The Wizard of Oz, which is another epic journey in which, you know, four characters, or five if you include Toto, go on a little trip to find things that it turns out they already possessed, which is very much what Zen training and maybe especially the process of Dharma transmission is all about, that we find things that we already had in us, in ourselves. You know, whether it's a home or a brain or a heart or courage, we already have all those things, but sometimes we forget, or sometimes we're not able to use them skillfully. And I think that is one of the responsibilities of a teacher, is to help us all to, you know, get back in touch with things that are helpful and that the world needs of us, that we sometimes forget that we have. Sometimes we attribute those things to somebody else. You know, or sometimes we doubt that those things could possibly occur at all, and we feel very cynical. But they're there, you know. And even, you know, I've accepted to take on the role of a teacher. But like Taigen was saying, that doesn't mean that I am an infallible person, or that I always have all those qualities, you know, myself, or am in touch with them rather. But that's
That is one of the responsibilities that I take as part of my own practice, is to continually try to find those helpful and skillful qualities, like a heart, you know, or a brain, or courage, and to help others find them. Sometimes, and this is part of us being a Sangha together, sometimes it's others who are helping me to find those things in myself and to help bring them to others. And you know, that's life. But it's also, you know, it's also my responsibility to maintain presence of mind and to, you know, do my best to catch myself when I'm being unskillful with those qualities, to, you know, come back and say, oh, okay, you know what, that wasn't very skillful. I maybe need to compensate somehow for any harm that I may have caused, and to, you know, get back on the path of continuing to try to find and cultivate those helpful qualities. The part that reminded me of The Wizard of Oz, of coming in today, was really seeing everybody. And, you know, at the end of the movie, when Dorothy wakes up from her, you know, epic dream and realizes that, you know, she's sort of like, oh, you know, I was on this great journey, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and this is how I felt walking in today, because really, there's literally nobody here today who wasn't spoken of or thought of in our, you know, very strenuous week, including the newcomers. We didn't know that, you know, you specific person would be the newcomer today, but we did think about the newcomers. And I would like to add, for the newcomers, it's not always this crowded, you know. Please come back on another occasion, and we can probably get you a better seat. But I want to encourage each person who's come here for the first time today. Because that is how everybody starts off. You know, you're coming in on a very auspicious day, and there are lots of other days that, you know, you don't feel so inspired, but you come in and you keep trying, and you keep coming back to our practice of sitting and being present with whatever's happening, and it tends to, you know, transform itself and transform us. So, thank you for being part of this journey. I think we maybe all underestimate the extent to which we support each other, and the extent to which, you know, maybe people who appear to be prominent at any given time really rely on each of us. This is not something that we do on our own, and I was very aware of that this week. So thank you. And with that, I will pass the mic.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So, yeah, the third person. Darn, the fourth person. Okay, so first of all, time check. Little while? Okay, great. So, I want to pick up on some of the themes I heard so far. And, you know, usually the last person to speak is the one who asks for, who makes the pitch, who asks for donations or, you know, something like that.
Feel free.
Okay. So, you know, if you want to do that, any amount from a smile to $1 million is considered appropriate. But if you were to give $10 million, that would be okay too. Okay. So that's done. I'm I'm not the person in the position to do that. But what I do want to do is to talk about us and what this has to do with us. And I think it's important to know that everything that happens in an enclosure like this, in a safe space like this, has to do with our journey of the heart, or our development of heart and mind, our development in the world and in ourselves. In the world and in ourselves is not actually different, because the self is everything that we don't think of as part of the world, and the world is everything we don't think of as part of the self. And that includes other people who we have intimacy with or who we have relationships with. So the first thing that I would like to do is to speculate a little bit and give great gratitude to Naomi Leighton, Tygen's wife. And I think this is super important, because who keeps Tygen honest? Right? I mean, am I right? Besides, you know, supervising the recovery, you know, in the sabbatical, and driving us back and forth, and providing the informal commentary at the end of the day. And what I want to say is that that's actually part of practice. This is part of practice. There are different types of transmission. And Dharma transmission acknowledges some of them, but doesn't talk about what the life of those intimate relationships really are. To do that, you have to enact them. You know, you have to live them. You have to make the commitment and the vow and actually be with each other and see what that means. And so in Dharma transmission, we talk about horizontal and vertical dimensions. So vertical transmission is, you know, when you recite the names of the Buddhas, and we're in the 93rd generation or 94th generation, 92nd generation from the Buddha, and that the transmission has been handed down warm hand to warm hand for all those years. And it also includes the shadow transmission of who was not included, whose sweat has been part of this practice, but who hasn't been named in the lineage because maybe there was a political thing in the Sangha, or someone didn't notice, or something like that. So there's the shadow transmission of who hasn't been included, who hasn't been expressed as a big teacher. There's also the times when the lineage has died out in the vertical transmission. And when someone had to ask a cousin or an uncle or an aunt, not an aunt, but usually a male relative, Dharma relative, would you please carry my transmission across this space? Because I'm going to die and my successor hasn't shown up. So all of those blood and guts are part of the vertical transmission of the Dharma. So that Buddha's simple teachings about there's always something. There's always something. No matter what life is suffering doesn't mean that there's always some great big angst. It means there's always something. There's always something annoying or something in the background, like that may not stay in the background, like climate change or wars. There's always something. And there's a start to that in our own lives. And that has to do with what we wanted or needed that can't arise. And there's an end to that. There's a possible end to that in our own lives, which is to turn towards the pain and to practice, to create a practice that makes us upright enough, open enough, and deep enough to hold anything that comes up. And that is the Buddha's teaching. How do we do that? And how do we encourage each other and support each other to do that so that the world and we can manifest a deeper and more inclusive meaning, something that even will hold us at the moment of our death or at the moment of our great pain. That's what we're working with. That's what we're looking for, as well as the moment when, you know, the cat runs away from us and tips over the vase of flowers that crashes the glass onto the bathroom floor, you know, as well as that kind of moment. I hope I'm making sense. So that's vertical transmission, warm hand to warm hand, through the years. Horizontal transmission is warm hand to warm hand this way. You know, so this way. So given my own role as a human being, my own responsibilities, my talents, my hates, my needs, my friends, how does the Dharma arise in this form or this container, hand in hand with all beings? Dharma meaning the truth, the taste of the truth. How does that arise inclusively? How does that arise in what we ignore? How does that arise in the little thing, the little miracles that we don't notice, like the fact that sometimes people really do stay in their lanes on the highway? You know? That's a miracle. That's a miracle of intimacy horizontally. So what I want to say is that vertical transmission is very much shown by these brown robes. And when you put on a brown robe, it's like, oh no, you know? Because it means that this brown robe suddenly is on these people and they have this question of... given the form that's been handed down throughout the generations and the lore of it, how do I embody it? Not just body, but body, speech, and mind. So it's visible and palpable, audible, and all the rest of those ables, so that it can be passed on. How do I do that? And I have to tell you that with every ordination I've ever received, it's become more and more embarrassing and painful because the gap between what I'm being asked to do and what I think I can do kind of goes deep, and my sense of my abilities goes in relation to that. That's called comparative thinking. So, and it's a cause of suffering. So, you know, what you guys were saying about gratitude is our open door to being able to do that, to recognize that as imperfect beings, these people are taking on a very large task and that their practice is being kept honest by you, by your sense of stability and ballast and role and appreciation of the world in your own life. So vertical transmission has to include horizontal transmission or it's meaningless. Horizontal transmission has to include vertical transmission because those are the people who have the study hours, you know, to manifest in that particular reminder oriented way. So I personally am so impressed by this Sangha and your the feeling, the life that you've created in this room and in this community. And I know that you can do the important thing for these two people and for each other of inviting each other to teach in the ways that we really need to do. Whether it's horizontal, whether it's vertical, whether it's both. And to give each other feedback in a considerate and appreciative way that brings awakeness, the truth, and the community forward on the path. And thank you so much. And thanks for inviting me. Thanks for being such good sports when we kept asking you to do weird things, or physically difficult things. Like, would you please do another 130 bows now? Would you please white out from here to here and redo this little teeny, teeny, teeny little thing with two hairs of a brush and ink that you have to grind yourself? Would you please do that? You know, and would you please take this up and ask about it in all of its dimensions and make it come alive? Thank you.
The mic, how do I get it off?
Got it. That's okay.
So, thank you to Nyozon and Aishin for your many years of practice, for being willing to take this on, for doing a great job of completing the difficult and wonderful and intense and intimate ceremonies. Thank you to Shosan, Victoria, old friend, for coming and helping. And yeah, and thank you to all of you who made this necessary. So we have some time. We're not going to be doing temple cleaning. And we will have informal time with tea and cookies to just talk together, and you can go and harass any of them. Time for comments, questions, anything you would like to say or ask about any of this, please feel free. Who would like to start? Kathy, hi.
Could I just say that, in case I forget later, I would like to thank you for these beautiful things you made for us to put our documents in. It's beautiful.
Anyone else? Anything? Deb, hi. Can you hear her, Dylan?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I came for a retreat day. Have some physical difficulties and some, anyway, a number of things. And it was the last day of retreat, and I was talking to Peg. I said, you know, just the one thing that drove me nuts was that slow walking. Best. So we usually alternate it. but we didn't think you could do it, so we didn't want you needed to be to feel different. And I thought there was such a kindness of rather. So thank you all. And as you knew, that's
thank you, Deb. And, you know, you just to mention, you know, we're continuing, and Nyozan and Aishin are carrying on and keeping alive, and all of you also, a particular teaching and practice lineage and tradition. But part of this Sangha that I, you know, I've said this many times, some of you have heard me say this, but part of what I really appreciate about this Sangha, you know, there in American Zen and American Buddhism, there are a variety of slightly, sometimes a little bit more than slightly different traditions and lineages, and that's great. So there are different styles of walking, for example. I talked about how this authorization, to put it that way, of them as teachers does not mean that they have had some great spiritual attainment. There are American Zen lineages where certification of teaching does mean they have passed through, for example, a curriculum of koans, and there's a certain attainment involved in that, in those lineages. That's not what we're about. But, you know, there are, but part of what I appreciate about this Sangha is that many of the, not everyone, some people started here, but many people who are part of this Sangha have practiced in a variety of different traditions and lineages, and I can give lots of examples. Nyozan practiced in, started practicing in a Tibetan tradition and practiced in a Rinzai tradition and practiced in a, for a long time in a Korean lineage, and here he is. And many of you, and I can point out examples, have practiced in many different traditions. And I think that's part of what makes this Sangha particularly rich. And that we, and mature, that we include many perspectives. And that's important. That we're not, that we follow one tradition. So when I started with my first teacher, who's on the first board, Soto Zen, I knew this was it for me. But I've done practices and done teachings in many other traditions too, as a Soto Zen practitioner. And I respect many traditions. And we have on our board an Episcopal priest, for example. We can appreciate the varieties of not just religious but cultural traditions. So Gary Snyder, Bob Dylan, and Mary Oliver are on the board there, and they're all mentioned in my book, Zen Questions, and they're all part of what we have to express our practice. So, I'm sorry, I've already talked long enough. Who else would like to ask something or say a question or say something? Or the horizontal dimension is that, you know, we want you all to feel free to speak. Yes, Wade. Hi.
What do you feel has changed and what do you feel has changed?
It's so new, they may not know. They may not know yet. Ask them again in a month. Go.
No, I guess without having more than 5 seconds to think about this, I would say that almost everything has stayed the same as it was, 2 weeks ago. I've got these new clothes. That's changed, but everything is changing. Our practice over time, even though we walk in with awakening, our practice does transform us. And it's certainly transformed me over the amount of time that I've been practicing. But not that anybody would really notice except my mom.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, this is kind of partly what I was talking about when I was talking about beings that are the same being, not the same being. So, you know, some things have not changed at all. Suzuki Roshi once said, you know, the problem you have now is the problem you'll have forever, something like that. And so, you know, there are certain things that I may be a little bit anomalous for somebody in this situation because I just, you know, as people know, what has changed, and there may be other things. One thing that's changed is an acknowledgement or an assumption to a different degree, maybe of a certain responsibility. And so it's maybe a kind of enhancement of commitment, renewal of commitment.
Hi, Tom. Oh, you were just bowing. Oh, good. Yeah. Shudo, please.
So this question is for you, Sagan, and respectfully for Chilson, if you can answer. But do either of you ever struggle with ordaining or certifying?
Well, sure, in some ways, but not. But no, I knew that I could trust both of these people. And the people that I do lay ordination for or priest ordination for are people that in some way already express that. So when I decide to do that, it's definite. But then I struggle with how to get it on the paper and how to do the mechanics and how to... This was a difficult week. Some of the things that we have to do. But not the basic thing of this person, I'm going to take care of that. Shosan, what do you think?
Yes. Well, thanks for your question, Shudo. I think it's really important just to... I want to just answer in a very straightforward way because... struggling with ordaining can occur at so many different levels: personal, interpersonal, institutional, structural, and cultural. Immediately to mind, and there's different problems and issues with all of that. And this is also part of where the Sangha comes in, because the Sangha helps. The Sangha is the vehicle for understanding of the treasure of practice and what form that contribution will take in this particular society, which is probably going to take 500 years, and needs every single one of us, including the 5-year-old kid who says, "But the emperor has no clothes." You know, so this is really important. So personal struggle with ordination, yes. My teacher was in a scandal a year after I was ordained, and so I had huge problems with ordination. I also was refused ordination many times before ordaining. And then, as I said, each successive ordination of, Jukai, the Bodhisattva vows, priest ordination, head monk at Tassajara, Dharma transmission, and beyond. Each one of those ordinations has its own personal issues for me relating with how much I don't know, actually. And how much I don't know in an informational sense, but how much also how much I don't know in my heart. Where are my limitations? Where are my prejudices? You know, where's my impact? That's continually, that continually comes up moment after moment. Interpersonal reflects that. And so the mirror of other people and of a group has problems with ordaining. Some people aren't ordained. Some people are ordained. That creates a difference, interpersonal and institutional differences. But also structural. You know, for instance, how many teachers of color are ordained in the American system? That's an interesting question. And what are the structures that keep that in place? Joanna Macy once asked that Soto Zen priests create silos, create temples at silos of nuclear waste, because we were the people who would have an intergenerational memory to actually treat those with respect and to treat them appropriately to the danger that they pose. So anyway, questions like this. What about women? What about the fact that I'm the first female on my lineage document? Blanche and I were having a conversation one day, and we said, okay, we went down the list, and we were the first women. What about that? What does that mean? Where are the invisible women? Anyway, there's so many problems with ordaining. I've had problems ordaining people. And Dharma Transmission, we have fights about these things because they carry ranks or positions in society. Like for a chaplaincy, someone has to be proved that they're ordained or that they're full priest. So what kind of pressure does that create for my student who's a chaplain who has a time limit on the, you know, how many months can she work as a chaplain before she has to show that she has received Dharma transmission? Okay. So anyway, there's all sorts of issues like this. It's just problems.
Right? I need to add one thing. This was a difficult week, I said. It was also a wonderful, joyful
week. Absolutely.
Heidi, we knew that. We knew that.
And I need to add something about what Shosan just said, because we have actually quite a few chaplains in our Sangha, and we have it has been arranged that anyone with lay ordination can be a chaplain, and we've worked that through. So just to say that, and if anyone's interested.
I'm interested, so I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, so just that for information. Yeah.
Yeah, just saying that because I think if we think of the form of ordination as an interpersonal form of practice rather than as a rank that we have to cope with, new rank and, you know, all those problems that we have to cope with, then I think we'll be a little bit lighter about working with all the impacts of people's fears, concerns, projections, limitations, and so on, which are actually the entire content of our path forward on awakening, in awakening. We have to turn towards any and all of our issues and be willing to feel and work with impacts at every level until the other person is satisfied. I'm not saying happy, I'm saying satisfied. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
We have time for one or two more comments or questions or whatever. Oh, hi, Mike.
Congratulations, Eva. I was wondering if you could talk about the wooden object in front of you. What does it mean? Is that right? Just out of curiosity.
Let's ask Taigen, because he hasn't really fully explained this to us yet. How and when, how to hold, where to put. We just, yesterday, this is brand new.
These are called kotsu or nyoi. There's a technical difference between those two words, but not so much. These are just, they're actually not part of the ceremony of ceremonial implements of the actual Dharma transmission, but sort of after implements. And they're just carried by authorized teachers, and they're used when opening the Zendo practically, they will use it when they are officiating for service, when they are opening the Zendo, at the beginning of all-day sittings, they will now be doing jundo. So for those of you who have done all-day sittings, they will be going around the Zendo as I do now. And it's just an emblem of, and I have a variety of them just because I've been doing this a while, but they're just emblems of teacher authorization. And there are various such emblems. As Nyozan said, his sister, Reverend Lian Shutt, who's a priest at San Francisco Zen Center, made that for him. And the one that Aishin has is modeled after the one that I received at my Dharma transmission 19 years ago at Tassajara that Chosun made for me. And Jason made that, basically copying the one that I have, that I use, that you've seen me using. So anyway, they're one of the various implements that just represent teacher authorization. And so other questions like that or anything else? Anybody else? Yes, Kathy, hi.
I'm curious about the calligraphy that you did this week. Like, what were you doing? I know it was a lot. What happened to it?
So maybe I'll respond about that. There are a few documents that have different significance. Some represent the vertical dimension, as Shosan was talking about. Actually, one of them is like the Kechimyaku that you received at lay ordination, but it's like it, but a little bit amplified, showing the lineage from Shakyamuni through India, through China, and actually through, in our lineage, and this isn't true of all sutta lineages, but in our lineage, both in lay ordination and in Dharma transmission, it goes through both the Rinzai and Soto, or Linji and Saodong lineage, to Dogen, and then the Japanese lineage, to Suzuki Roshi and beyond, to Nyozan and Aishin. And then there's a couple of other documents that one is the horizontal dimension in which we are all included in a way, and then another is a Soto expression of the inner meaning of these teachings. So there's a lot of calligraphy involved.
A lot of names. I mean, there's more to it than that. There are done in certain ways, but names.
Yeah, names and various designs that are symbols that show aspects of the teaching. So it's a lot of calligraphy. And so they have now brushes and ink stones, and some of it's red and some of it's black, and it's just, anyway, it's very involved and takes several days.
If you think that Dharma transmission might be in the future in some way, you might want to start your practicing calligraphy now.
I do want to say that the documents themselves, in support of what Nyozan has just said, are 6 feet long and 17 inches wide. And they're made out of expensive silk. And so the way that the calligraphy is done is that you take sticks of ink and you grind your ink until it's of the consistency of creme fraiche. So it starts out as water and ends up as a red or black ink. And then there's only, you know, they didn't have to do it in kanji or characters. They could use English.
Yeah, mostly, yeah. I think was it all? There was one kanji.
One kanji.
But it's mostly, yeah. So the ones that my teacher did were in Chinese characters. But he actually transformed and redesigned the documents, so now we do it in English.
And it's important also to know that there are some things which we're allowed to talk about and some things that we're not allowed to talk about. And it's not, they're not bad things, it's just that you talk about them in the context of studying.
It's not exactly that they're secret, it's just that they're private and intimate.
It's private.
So, thank you all for coming to celebrate this, and please continue to celebrate this new situation for Niozan and Eishin, and they'll be wearing brown robes and brown roksus from now on, and so please support them to support you. So we'll close formally with the four bodhisattva vows, and then we'll have tea and treats. And thank you, Phyllis, for preparing that for us today, and a chance to just talk more informally. So.